I'm Frank Garza, and welcome to Here and Abroad, a podcast that follows the U.S. men's national team and their player pool across Europe, MLS, or wherever else they play their club football. On today's show, we're going to get to know more about Ejmir Bayraktarevic. The 18-year-old forward for the New England Revolution made his debut for the USMNT in their recent friendly against Slovenia. He came on in the 61st minute, and it didn't take long for his play to jump off the screen at me and many others. Since then, I've been wanting to learn more about Ejmir, and to help me do that, I've invited Seth Maycumber to join the show. Seth is a senior editor covering the New England Revolution for the Blazing Musket. Seth, welcome to the show.
Frank, I'm so happy to be here. And I have to tell you, man, I've had a mustache three times in my life, and you are catching me on camera with the mustache. So this will go down forever as something that is out there, me with a mustache. Usually I'm clean shaven, but for you, something a little special.
Ah, that'll give me some more listens, because whenever you're trying to tell somebody you had a mustache, they want to see a picture, you can kind of direct them to this this video. I love
that. Like and subscribe, people.
Well, Seth, I'm so excited to talk with you about Ejmir, but let me, first of all, how did I do with his name pronunciation? That's the first thing I want to cover.
You did so well that you're making me nervous that I'm going to have to say his name a lot during this podcast, and I have to live up to that. Ejmir Bayraktarevic is how I go by saying it. I think it's something that a lot of people are learning to say right now because, like you said, very, very good performance against Slovenia, someone who could have a big year for the New England Revolution.
Yeah, I'll be honest. You know, that was that game against Slovenia was the very first time I've ever saw him play. Didn't know much about him. But I know from your history that that wasn't the first time you've watched him. So you can tell us a little bit about how long you've been watching Ejmir and what you know about his background.
Yeah, so Ejmir Bayraktarevic, he grew up in Wisconsin. His parents are from Bosnia. They fled from Bosnia during the war, went to Switzerland for some time, and ultimately ended up in the United States living in Wisconsin. As a young player, he was very talented, but he found himself in an odd spot because he was between Minnesota United and the Chicago Fire. And if you're in Wisconsin, that's a long drive. You know, you're talking 3-4 hours to go train multiple times a week. He did have time that he went over with the Chicago Fire and played with those academy teams, but often he found it really difficult to do that. But he kind of kept working and you know, pick up games, working with recreation games, and ended up working with a family who really took care of him. I interviewed him last week for an article that will be on the Blazing Musket. And this family who came in contact, they became really close family friends, and they ended up helping him get to a club. And once he was in the club, he continued to like flourish and continue to show his abilities. And that's when other clubs came calling and other academies came calling, one of which was the New England Revolution. And he went over there for a trial and they said, come live here. That was something that couldn't happen with Chicago, something that couldn't happen with Minnesota, really. But they said, we have these residency homes and residency parents, and we'd like you to come here and train with us. And they had a plan for him. And basically the plan was, you will play for the academy, you will play for our second team. In a year, you will become a homegrown. And once you become a homegrown, you have the ability to play minutes for that team. And soon after he became a homegrown, he made his New England Revolution debut. And it began with a performance against NYCFC in the U.S. Open Cup. And then soon after that, he made his first league appearance in August. And then a couple days after that, it was his first start. And you talked about a flashy player, a capable player. In his very first start, you could go back and watch this, he megs a player. You know, that confidence. And we saw against Slovenia, in his very first touch, he megs a player. You know, this is a guy who's really confident in his abilities and can take guys on and go to people, and he loves to go to goal. So yeah, this is someone who I've watched quite a bit. It's not always been a complete upward trajectory for Ejmir, playing with the second team and playing with the first team. But this is a player who has some really good abilities and likes to take people on and showcase those abilities.
Yeah, I mean, he popped off the screen. You know, his what impressed me the most was just how he could maneuver inside the box in tight spaces, taking people on, making things happen. Very unique. We don't have a lot of players in even the senior men's team that can do that. So you kind of touched on it there, but it sounds like that didn't surprise you. It wasn't like that different than what you've seen from him in with his time in the New England Revolution. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, he's a young player. You know, like you see flashes in young players and you always kind of wonder, will they show up in every single day? And that's not a knock on Eshmir. It's every single young player, right? When you see Noel Buck for the New England Revolution, Noel's a great player. He does some really great things. But the question is always going to be, can he do it on a consistent basis? You know, these young players all the time, we see it. We know there's talent, but can they do it on those larger stages? The other thing that I thought was really impressive from Eshmir is that he had that one defensive play, right? That he tracks back and he bodies and he wins that ball. That's something that players have to develop. You know, when you're a young player early on, you get away with just doing the attacking stuff. You get away with just going forward and taking guys on and scoring goals. But at the highest level, you got to do everything. You got to be big. You got to be strong. You got to be able to win back the ball and do things defensively. And I think that's something, if we're going to, again, go back to Buck grew up in 1 year. 1 year, he was a little bit smaller kid doing these really great things for Revs too. And all of a sudden, he was this big kid. You know, he physically looked bigger and stronger. And I remember even talking to him. And he's like, yeah, I got bigger. That's just what happens. And I think that there's something that also can happen here with Eshmir, that he goes from a 17-year-old to an 18-year-old. He's really confident. And when you have more and more of these performances, you're going to gain that confidence. I mean, in the camp, they played the River Plate U23s, and he scored a goal. I have to imagine being the youngest player in this camp, scoring a goal against that team, helped his confidence so that when he came on the field, he's like, yeah, I can hang with these guys. I can do it at this level. And I mean, in my opinion, that there weren't many other players that outperformed him. Dewan Jones, who works with him, I thought he did pretty well. But I think a lot of us were talking about Eshmir after that final whistle. And that's pretty exciting when you think about he's eligible for the next two Olympic cycles.
I mean, that's true. After the match, I watched a lot of post-match shows, listen to a lot of podcasts, and the one consistent topic, the one consistent thread on every single show was that people mentioned Eshmir and his play and how he stood out and how excited they were to see that. Everybody seemed to be talking about the kid. You mentioned some of his maybe opportunities to grow. We've talked about, you know, some of his strengths already. But, you know, if you had to kind of summarize that, him as a player, what his strengths are and what you think his top couple areas to grow are, what would you say?
Yeah, the strengths are like what we've been saying, his ability to go forward and take guys on. He's very direct. You know, there are some players who want to pass the ball around a little bit, and he can certainly do that. But he likes to get the ball and he's thinking, where is the goal? Let me go at the goal. Last year, he had the first ever hat trick for Revs 2 in Revs 2 history. Obviously, a pretty short history, but that gives you an idea of his ability to go forward and score goals and go at people. So that's really a strength for him. Really good feet, really good creative player, really shifty with his movements. In terms of his ability to grow, one was defensively, and that's a common thing. The Revs have a lot of talented young players right now. Noel Buck made that move forward, showed that defensive ability. Jack Paniatu is another player who has potential to get there one day, but again, has to work on all assets of the game. Another part is consistency, like I mentioned. Eshmir needs minutes. That's what he needs. You know, for the New England Revolution first team, he's not always getting onto the field, which means that he's sometimes dropping down to that second team. And there's a bit of a gap there. That second team is good for development. For some players, it's an opportunity to get on the field and work within the system and the coaches. But for Eshmir, he's kind of shown that he's more that MLS quality player. And right now, he has that ability to potentially take that spot. Dylan Barrero is a very talented player for the Revs, but he's out right now with an ACL injury. So there's really a vacancy on that flank for a player. Nacho Heal is someone who has experience. He has the ability to slot in there. So he's a competition. Ima Boateng, another experienced guy, knows Caleb Porter really well. He can play there. But I think that Eshmir Barakterovic is a player that you should keep an eye on. And if he can get those moments and get those confidence and get those, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90 minute performances on a regular basis, that would be so huge for his confidence and so huge for his development. So that's really important. That he gets on the field more and more during these formative years.
Looking at the Rev season, you know, coming up here, I mean, do you expect him to be regularly on the first team and contributing, or do you expect him to be going back to the second team? I mean, what's the expectations for him, you know, coming up this season?
It's tough to say, right? I mean, there's a new coach in Caleb Porter that's coming in. We haven't seen any preseason games at this point because they haven't been streamed. So we don't know exactly how things look. I can tell you the most recent preseason game, Eshmir was in that starting 11 to begin. Now, obviously, the Revs are dealing with some injuries right now. There are guys that they're shuffling around. They're still thinking about certain players. But like I mentioned, like now's the time for him to do that. Because they have Thomas Chonkele, who is a DP who can play on one wing. The other player is a U22 player, Dylan Barrero. So it's going to be hard to potentially beat those individuals because the number 10 is Carlos Heel. Not sure if you ever heard of him. He's a very, very good player, perennial MVP. And the guy up top is a DP in Giacomo Veroni, very likely. So maybe you do shift some of those pieces around and get Eshmir in there. But there's a lot of experience and a lot of money in those other positions. So it might be difficult for him to break through, especially once Dylan Barrero comes back. So yeah, I mean, I think right now is the time to kind of prove himself. In the most recent preseason game, he went for a bicycle kick. Again, giving you an idea of how audacious this person is and how creative he is. We didn't see it. I can't tell you exactly what it looked like, but I think it gives you an idea of his confidence and his ability to find where the goal is and try to get there quickly.
Do you think did it move the needle at all, this performance that he put in against Slovenia? I mean, did that, you know, I know people around the New England Revolution are very familiar with him, but with so much talk about him after that match, how was that taken around the team and around fans over there?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be excited after he went on there and performed so well, right? You know, DeJuan Jones was playing on the right side with him. And before the game, we talked to him as part of the media. And DeJuan said, we're really excited to see what he can do at this stage because we see it every week in training, you know? And sometimes at a team level, it's hard to break through because there's older guys, more experienced guys. Week to week basis, maybe you're really pushing for winning. And as a result, some of those younger guys don't get the minutes because they have to develop a little bit more. So when you get those minutes, you have to really perform. And I really thought there wasn't much better that he could do against Slovenia. Maybe have one of those assists go into the back of the net. Maybe have one of those shots go in the back of the net. Maybe at that point, we're really excited. But I remember I put out the stats afterwards and it said one chance created. And that didn't seem right to me. I mean, I put out a highlight reel and it seemed like that's a chance. Like it seemed like every time he was on the ball, there was a chance being created there. So, the other thing to kind of keep in mind here, and maybe we'll talk about it in a little bit, but he is a dual national and he is someone who loves the United States. I don't know if you saw the video I put out, but Jeff Lemieux from Revolution Soccer asked him, what's it going to be like to put on that jersey? And you could just see his smile light up. Like that was his reaction to it. His facial reaction was better than his answer because it was so genuine. It showed that he really wanted to wear that jersey. But at the same time, he's so deeply connected to Bosnia. You know, like he speaks the language, his parents are from there. After a game, if you looked, he was wearing an emblem that was a Bosnian emblem. So, you know, this is someone who is being recognized by another country as well. And people obviously are going to talk about him because he also went on loan last year to AZ Alkmaar. Not loan, excuse me. He went there to train for a little bit and play with their U18s and performed really well there. So I think that there are people that know his name. And obviously with more and more good performances, more people will know his name and pronounce it correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting about the dual national eligibility that he has. I mean, do you have, obviously you've said it's very important to him. Is he in contact with the Bosnian national team at all? Has he gone into any of their camps? I mean, has he had any involvement with them, you know, whatsoever that you know of?
Yeah, he has talked to them. One of the issues right now is that he doesn't have his Bosnian passport. That was something that he was working on last year, but during the season, it was kind of difficult to do all the steps that he needs to get done. But he told me last week, and this article will come out in the Blazing Musket, but he told me that he is in the process of getting that passport, and basically he's keeping his options open. And I want to be really clear, I don't view that as a slight towards the United States. I think that sometimes people get offended when there's a player who says, well, I'm keeping my options open. But Frank, he's 18 years old. You know, like if you're 18 years old, I would keep my options open too. Like I wouldn't say I'm playing for the New England Revolution all my life. I wouldn't say that I'm definitely playing for the United States, especially if there's a possibility of not being called up again in the future, I'd say I'm 18 years old. Let's see what happens. You know, talking to Eshmir, I talked about you left Wisconsin to come to the New England Revolution. You left your family, you left your friends, you left a life behind to come here. And he basically said that, yeah, it was a little scary, but my dad said it'd be a waste of a talent not to. And so I think this is someone who's thinking about keeping doors open, because if you're too narrow in your scope, you don't always reach the heights that you want to get to. You know, if Eshmir said, hey, I'm 16 years old, and I'm going to go to New England. Nah, that's too much. Like, I don't know if I can do that. Then we're not talking about him right now, maybe. Maybe he's still playing rec soccer or club soccer over in Wisconsin. Maybe it's better. Maybe he ends up in a different academy or something like that. But he took that risk. He kept that option open. And so I think it's really important that he is keeping options open, looking at things. And by no means is that a slight. I think that he will, my guess, I have no inside information here. He didn't say anything about this. My guess is that we see him play in the Olympics this summer. But I think there's also an opportunity that maybe at one point he does play for Bosnia, because it is something that is deep to him. There's a connection there. It's not fake by any means.
Yeah. I mean, I think every one of those dual nationals has to make a personal decision for themselves that makes the most sense, you know, for them and their family. So I agree with you. It's no slide at all. Certainly credit to him for wanting to get all the information, you know, that he can, and keep his options open and make the best decision, you know, when the time comes for that. You know, you've mentioned this interview that you did, you know, with him. You've also just been following the team, you know, day in and day out for so long. What can you tell me about his personality?
Yeah, I mean, he's a reserved individual oftentimes in interviews, but again, that makes sense. I often think about this. I don't know about you, but when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, it might have been a little bit difficult to go in front of my class and do a book report or to do a presentation. And now he's 16, 17, 18 years old, and we're putting microphones in front of him with the understanding that someone's going to analyze every single word that he says. You know, like if he says something even remotely incorrect, or it comes out the wrong way, people start to question it. And that's why I said that idea of like, hey, he's a dual national, he's keeping his options open. Some people might look at that and say, okay, that's a situation where he's slighting the United States. No, it's just him saying, I'm young and I don't want to commit to anything right now. Let's see how things unfold. Let's see what happens. And I think that's a really smart thing for him to do. I think he's well liked around the team. Henry Kessler, who's a defender, has nicknamed him the Milwaukee Messi. And that has come up a few different times, his ability, his skill, ability.
That's a nice name. I like
that. You know, I wish someone had a nickname like that for me. I'm, you know, maybe Mustache Makeover or something like that will start trending after this comes out. Another thing that, you know, was brought up, I believe Henry Kessler says that he can rap a little bit, that he has the ability to spit bars. I know that he does listen to like Bosnian music and music, things like that. But he also talked about how, you know, a lot of his friends are American. He grew up in America. He understands the culture of this country. So yeah, this interview was really valuable to me. I was really thankful for it. Cause one, I'm always honored when someone is willing to tell their story to me. You know, like that they entrust me with their ability to tell it correctly and to get it out there in a correct way. So that was one way it was interesting. And it was also the longest conversation I'd had with him. And I felt like he really opened up a little bit about being both Bosnian and from the United States, as well as, you know, his family growing up and his goals for the future. So, you know, I don't know him on a personal level, never hung out with the guy. But, you know, last Tuesday was great, because when you have those longer interviews, and I'm sure you know this talking to people, the short little discussions afterwards in the locker room, it can be real short because it's a mob of people with microphones. We're all asking one question at a time. You know, he gave me a long amount of time, and I was really grateful to be able to get some information that hopefully you and your listeners will read and they'll learn a little bit more about this individual.
Yeah, what about, you know, we've talked about this kind of fearlessness that he has, you know, on the field, you know, obviously getting into his debut for the U.S. men's national team and just like going forward. You talked about his debut for the New England Revolution. Any sense where that comes from? Has that always been there since you've known him?
Yeah, for what I've seen him, he's always kind of been a bold guy that goes forward. It's funny, I did a video last year because the Revolution actually had three homegrown players, 17 or 18, or maybe they were all 18, I can't exactly remember, in the starting lineup against DC United. And when I went back and I analyzed every single player, the one I said about Eshmir is that he's direct. You know, I talked about Noel Buck and his ability to win the ball, his defensive contributions. I talked about Jack Paniatu's ability to play the ball in his space and have good vision, and his feet are really excellent. And for Eshmir, I talked about his ability to just go direct, to get the ball forward, to hit shots. So that was something that I've always noticed from the beginning, that he wants to go at guys and he wants to go forward. You talked about his history in terms of his playing ability. You know, his family grew up playing soccer. You know, his dad was playing basically on a daily basis over in Bosnia, played over in Switzerland. He said around 50 years old, his dad is still bawling every day. he talks about his mom sometimes joined in and played soccer growing up. His brother had a brief stint playing professional soccer. His sister played, you know, soccer as well. And I believe she's coaching right now. So it's a family who's always loved soccer and who's always, you know, been on the soccer field. And, you know, just as well as I do, when you blog a lot of minutes, you gain a lot of confidence and you start to do stuff more and more. I can imagine in Wisconsin, he was probably sometimes, and I don't know this part, but I'm sure he was playing up sometimes and, you know, learning some things and gaining some confidence. And he was just looking for the ability to do that. And hopefully he continues to find time to do that on the field.
Yeah, that's great to hear. You know, thinking about his future a little bit, you know, a lot of times young player like this comes in, makes an impact. And I know he still has to maybe translate into some steady performances, you know, in MLS and stand out, you know, throughout the regular season on a game-to-game basis there. But, you know, a lot of times young players like this, it's not long before they start to want to head to Europe. European teams start to take an interest. Has there been any talk of that with Eshmir at all, a potential move to Europe or any interest from them?
Yeah, like I said, he went overseas last year and did a training stint with AZ Alkmaar. Those aren't out of the norm. I mean, Noel Buck was potentially going to train that same summer with Tottenham. It just didn't work out. He impressed, from my understanding. Like I said, he scored a couple goals with the under 18 squad. He told me that, you know, of course he wants to play at the highest level. It's kind of everyone's dream, right? We all grow up thinking about playing in the Premier League and playing in Champions League. But I think the thing to understand about him, and this came out with my interview, is I think he's grounded. You know, I think that he's someone who wants to cherish every moment and to not take anything for granted. And that doesn't mean he's going to sell himself short. It just means he wants to focus on what he can control, the here and now. Right now, it's about preseason. Right now, it's about learning a new system, you know, talking with a new coach, working with a new coach, and trying to get in that starting lineup. So, yeah, is he thinking about hopefully one day playing in Europe? Sure. But I'm not sure if it's at that spot yet, right? Like, I think for him, it's more about that here and now, like starting the season well, hopefully being in the starting lineup, contributing some way, and, you know, goals and assists, and maybe one day trophies, the things that any soccer player wants.
Well, Seth, thank you so much for joining the show. I'll make sure and put links in the show notes to your X account, which is at SethMan31, and also to your work at the Blazing Musket. Before I let you go, anything else you'd like to share about Eshmir or the Revolution or really anything else?
No, I mean, you asked some great questions. I think you got some information out of me. Frank, so I'm wondering whether it was from the Slovenia game, the research you did before this, or a conversation, what is something that you really took away from Eshmir? What's something that you are really thinking about when we talk about this player?
It was just how dynamic he is in the box. You know, that's something that has been missing. When I go back, you know, decades with the U.S. men's national team, you'd see them play well. Then in the final third, sometimes goals would be, you know, hard to come by. And I think that's improved a lot as players like Pulisic have come in the fold, you know, Gio Reyna, Tim Weah, Serginho Dest, even when he comes all the way forward. There's more and more of these players that are willing to take people on, dribble at them, go 1v1, make things happen. But still, like inside the box, that's sometimes where I see the U.S. kind of get stuck, as they put themselves in the right position, but then a player that can get the ball inside the box and then start making things happening, whether it be a pass that leads to a goal, whether it leads to beating somebody and scoring a goal themselves. That's really hard to come by, I think, with the U.S. men's national team. And that's what I saw with Ejmir, was a guy that could do that. And he wasn't, you know, he didn't, no goals came out of it. But I'll tell you what, the guy looked dangerous every time he got on the ball in the box. And that's what really popped off the screen to me. I mean, he just looked super dynamic and comfortable down there. And I think that's why I got so excited about him.
Yeah, I'd agree with that assessment. I think that performance, it was exciting, and it reminded me of a little bit of Diego Fagundes. You know, there's a lot of parallels you can make with both young revolution players, but there's a little bit of boldness, a little bit of creativity that happens there. So we'll see. I mean, again, I hope he gets the opportunity. I've been putting out every Monday or early in the week my starting 11. He was in my starting 11 the first 2 weeks of preseason. I took him out, actually, because Nacho Hill was generally, you know, starting and playing a lot of minutes over him. But this past week, he was in that starting lineup, and it kind of made me put him back into the starting lineup. So, you know, I'm trying to predict what's going to happen. Obviously hard to do, hard to get into the mind of a coach, but I would like to see him. I think that a lot of people want to see him because he's young and he's bold and he's looking for an opportunity.
I'd like to see him there too. And I tell you what, on Saturday nights when I have MLS, what is it called? MLS Season Pass? Is that what Apple TV is calling it? MLS Season Pass. When I have that up and I'm kind of like looking for a game to watch, if I see New England, I'll think to myself, I wonder if Ejmir's playing. And I'll click on over. I mean, he's not the only refs player. I really like DeJuan Jones as well. So a lot of great players, but I'm just saying he captured my attention, and I definitely want to see him play for the Revs this season.
Fair enough. I think a lot of people are on that same wavelength.
Thank you so much, Seth.
Yeah, real pleasure. Thank you so much.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Here and Abroad. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a fellow USMNT fan. I'm Frank Garza. You can follow me on X at Frank Garza 007, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.